To the church in Laodicea, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot, cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Well, for the last 6 weeks or so, we've been looking at particular letters that the risen Lord Jesus Christ sent to his church, particular churches living at that time in the first century, addressing challenges that they were facing, challenges that we face in the world today. The world hasn't changed. The human heart hasn't changed. Our enemy, the devil, hasn't changed. God is the only one who doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in these letters that Christ sent to his church, he highlights some of the hindrances that we know from our own experience, because we've been in church, we've done this Christian journey, many of us, for quite a long time. We know what it is to lose our first love for Christ, to love other things more than him. And the light goes out of our life when that takes place. We're in a darker place when the clouds come over and we don't see Christ, and we've stopped having that first heart love for him. Second challenge was shrinking back from sharing Christ for fear of opposition. And we know that, don't we? We know that it's a struggle for us to, even when times are good, when to open our mouth, we shrink back. But in hard times, when there's opposition, persecution, and yet there are many Christians who open their mouth and share and testify, and the cost is so great for them to do that. Or compromising God's truth for safety and prosperity, taking out bits of the Bible. This is not relevant for today. Tear that out. Before you know it, it's all gone. And you think it's for your safety and it's for your prosperity to do that. Or complacency. We think, well, we're okay, we're secure. The Lord will always provide for us. It doesn't matter that we don't follow him and his teachings and go our own way. I'm sure he'll always look after us. Or lack of numbers and resources. That's a hindrance. However, we discovered in Philadelphia, that was a church with limited numbers and resources. Because they were faithful, Christ opened up a door for effective service. Isn't that amazing, isn't it? That success is being faithful and being true to Christ. Whether you see lots of fruit or whether you don't see much at all, but you're being faithful, you're going to be faithful to him. And today we're going to be looking at that final church, final letter. This is the church in Laodicea. Now this morning you're sitting here, maybe you're feeling a little bit lukewarm. And it's quite good. You're not feeling cold. You're not feeling hot. It's a good thing. But spiritually, if you're lukewarm this morning, you're not actually in a good spiritual condition. Wholehearted commitment is a rare quality in the world that we live in. As many as 50% of marriages end in divorce, 20% in the first 5 years. In the world of football, if the manager doesn't bring quick success to the club, it's time to replace them. The average term for a Premier League boss is 16 months. It's actually similar to the term of a prime minister. There have been 6 in the last 10 years. Possibly there could be a 7th one. What does that say about the stability of our country? Actually, if you go back before that, in 35 years, there were 5. 5 prime ministers. It's less common these days to work for the same company for 10, 20, 30, 30 years. Not many for that length of time. Average age, average for someone between 25 and 34 is 3 years. 3 years. Gone are the days when we stayed with the same insurance company, energy provider, long term. It's common practice. Shop around every year for a better deal. What about churches? Are they impacted? Can they be impacted by lukewarmness, lack of commitment? Well, if you go around many churches, you'll find that there are believers who have never been baptized, and there are regular attenders who have never formally put down roots in a fellowship and become a church member. And then you can have members who rarely attend church meetings, or other than a Sunday, but they don't go, would rarely gather on a weekday for Bible study or for spiritual growth. So that we can be affected as believers in the church. This lukewarmness, this apathy can impact us as well. Whereas you go back to the early church, the first converts after the day of Pentecost, they devoted themselves, they believed, they baptized, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship and to prayers. They were hot. They were really hot at the beginning. Wholehearted commitment is the response that Jesus strongly desires, that he requires from his people. And the words that we read are really quite striking, are they? A lukewarm commitment is so grievous that if that commitment was served as a food or a drink, he would spit it out of his mouth. Strong words. Christ would prefer a dish served cold, coldness of heart towards him rather than lukewarmness. Just how grievous such a response must be to him. I wonder what the gauge would be in us if the Lord was to gauge our spirituality temperature. Where would we be? Would we be hot? Would we be lukewarm? Or would we be cold spiritually? Why does the level of our commitment matter so much to Christ? There are two reasons that are given in this letter. First, because of the strength of Christ's commitment to God and his people. That's how he's introduced in this letter to this church. He reveals himself as the Amen, as the faithful and true witness, as the ruler of God's creation. Well, faithful and true, that certainly is clear. That expresses wholehearted commitment. What about ruler of God's creation? The Bible tells us that Christ, the Son, is the one through whom all things were created, and he upholds all things by his powerful world. And even though he's grieved by mankind's indifference and rebellion against him, he continues to uphold it. He upholds it. And will one day restore it to its once pristine condition because of his wholehearted commitment to God's purpose for his creation. What about Christ being the Amen? Amen is a word that we say at the end of a prayer, or sometimes, probably more likely from the Nigerians, we'll get an Amen during the service if they like something that somebody said, they'll say Amen. And if we're honest, we often say Amen out of habit, without realizing what it means. Amen means let it be. In prayer, it's saying, Lord, I'm really in earnest. May it be as I have asked. Or Amen in response to something that somebody said is saying, look, I 100% agree with you. Christ, as the Amen, is the one who more than anyone else gives a wholehearted yes to God. A wholehearted yes to fulfilling his Father's purpose, irrespective of his personal cost. And we read words like this. He set his face as a flint, sharpened slate, as a flint towards Jerusalem. Razor sharp focus. He was going there. He was going to the cross. Whatever the cost, nothing was going to divert him. Or we read words in John. Zeal for your house, the Father's house, consumes me like a fire. Spiritual fervor. Keep your spiritual fervor like a fire. It burned him up. There was nothing lukewarm. There was nothing half-hearted. It was all wholehearted commitment of Christ. And Christ is the Amen to his people. He expresses a wholehearted yes to us. Wholehearted yes to us. This is my body and blood given for you. Nothing half-hearted about that. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you to the end. That's wholehearted, isn't it? That's hot. Or nothing can separate you from my love. What a wholehearted yes to us. And Christ desires. He's worthy of a resounding Amen, a wholehearted commitment from us, his people. Are we giving him that commitment? The level of our commitment matters firstly to Christ because of the strength of Christ's commitment to us. There's a second reason. Because he cares. He cares about the spiritual well-being, the temperature of his people. And lukewarmness reveals that something's not right in our hearts. It reveals Firstly, an inconsistency. Christ says in verse 15, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. You're a mixture of hot or cold. Jesus said to his disciples on one occasion in the context of making oaths, you don't need to swear by anything. Let your yes be yes and let your no be no. In other words, if you say yes, mean it. And if you say no, well, mean it as well. If you say no to something, really mean it as well. The church in Laodicea were saying yes to God one day and then no the next. Or saying yes with their lips, but no with their actions. There was an inconsistency about their profession. And their inconsistency was grieving Christ. He says to them, decide who you are serving. You're either for me or you're against me. You need to decide. I'd rather you were against me than be inconsistent in your profession. Brings a challenge to us, doesn't it? Is there an inconsistency? Is there a contradiction about our profession to Christ and the church? It calls us to decide who we are serving. And until we've come to a conclusion about that, we'll never be able to make a wholehearted commitment. We'll be marked by lukewarmness. So first of all, inconsistency. Secondly, self-sufficiency. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. Laodicea was the chief city in the southern region of Pergia, and it was renowned for its prosperity. It was the banking center for that area. Had a famous medical school. It was well known for its manufacture of cloth and garments and carpets. And the inhabitants were known to be quite proud of their city's accomplishments, their prosperity, their financial security. Had infected the church with a proud self-sufficiency. In fact, they were so self-sufficient that according to verse 20, Christ himself was no longer needed in the church. Oh, they may have well have said otherwise in their prayers or in their public worship, but in the way they lived their lives, they were practical atheists. There's a danger that the materialism of the West has lured the church into a similar self-sufficiency and spiritual poverty. We don't have to pray, give us today our daily bread, like Christians in third world countries, but their dependency on God has resulted in a strong, believing faith, taking God at his word, which far outstrips our faith and reliance on God. Perhaps a dip in our economy, maybe a blessing in disguise for the West, in particular for the church, if it leads to a greater hunger and dependency and trust in God. Lukewarmness reveals also spiritual sickness. Although being materially rich and self-sufficient, spiritually they were the complete reverse. So poor and needy. Verse 17, they were wretched. They were pitiful. They were poor. They were blind. They were naked. What a shocking, humbling revelation that must have been to the church in Laodicea to get that letter and to hear it read out. To see themselves as they really were spiritually. And it took Christ, who they had kept out of the church in their self-sufficiency, to reveal to them their true spiritual condition. That's why all of these letters, we hear these words, he who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. How we need insight. We need discernment. And Christ can give us, or we can find ourselves similarly blinded to our spiritual, true spiritual condition. And what is amazing in this letter, the one who is outside, the one who's spurned, the one who is rejected by his people, offered counsel and a cure to his sick people. Isn't that amazing? He offered them true spiritual wealth, pure spiritual gold, which would make them rich before God. Not the tarnished material gold which had impoverished them spiritually. He offers the same wealth to us. He offered them pure white garments to replace their stained garments and to cover their spiritual nakedness. He offered them ointment to put on their eyes, to remove their blindness, and give them spiritual sight again. He offers the same to us. What a wonderful counselor. What a wonderful physician our Lord is. What love he has for his people. What concern he has for our spiritual well-being. What is Christ's remedy? What is his cure for the church's lukewarm commitment? Verse 19, be earnest and repent. Sincerely, turn away from your lukewarm commitment. Repent. Have a change of attitude and heart leading to a change of behavior. Turn back to him in a serious, sincere, wholehearted commitment. So be earnest and repent. And then verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door of the church. Open the door of your hearts to him again. In their self-sufficiency, in their pride, in their worldliness, in their lukewarm commitment, they had closed the door to Christ, their Savior and Lord, the head of the church. And it's shocking, isn't it? It's frightening to think that by our attitude and behavior, we can do that. We can just push Christ out of the church. And having done that, we can carry on unaware. Well, let's just get our sleeves rolled up and let's just get on with the job, and on we do, and on we go. In this letter, Christ was knocking. He was calling the church back to him to open the door of their hearts, of the church, to let him in again. We sing that song, make way for Christ the King. To give him the place that he deserves to experience intimate fellowship with him again. It's very easy in church life to rely more on the structures, on the services, on the activities we have put in place, yes, according to Scripture, than on the Lord himself. And we can find ourselves running the church just like a business, where we're in the driving seat instead of following the Lord. If that's the case, we need to open the door of the church to the Lord again and let him be Lord and be wholly committed to him. As in all of the letters that Christ sends, he, as well as giving a rebuke, he reveals the way to respond. And if they respond, he gives a promise, he promises a reward for those who overcome. in addition to intimate fellowship with Christ, eat with him and he with me. We'll be thinking a bit more about that in communion tonight. He gives us authority to sit with him on his throne. What amazing grace. The church that had shut the Lord and his authority out and were going their own way, he offers them the honor of ruling and reigning with him. What undeserved love and favor. That's the God we know. That's the God that we worship and serve. He's worthy. He deserves our wholehearted commitment. Our first place in our hearts. Our first place in his church. And if the Lord is challenging you this morning about your response, about your commitment, about this lukewarmness, respond to his knocking this morning. Hear his call, his desire to know you and for you to know him in a greater way, to know his love and to know his grace and to know his strength and to know his power and to know his promises. And to know the transformation that he can make in our individual lives and in the life of the church as well. And he can enable us to be hot, to be spiritually hot for him. As we follow his remedy, as we are earnest and repent, and as we open the door of our hearts to him, he gives us more of himself. What a blessing. What a blessing. Yet not I, but Christ in me. That's what we need, isn't it? Yet not I, but Christ in me. If you've never opened the door of your heart to Christ, he's knocking. He's knocking this morning. I was at Hardwick last week, and I gave an invitation at the end. Nobody came forward. But I spoke to a man after the service, and he said, my son was here this morning, and he's drifted away from the Lord. And he said, I am so pleased that you gave him that opportunity to respond this morning. And so I said, well, I'm glad. I'm glad I did that. And so I don't want, you know, it's possible to be in church and to get to know about where to sit, the songs to sing, and how to say the grace, and all these things, and then go through for refreshments, and have a kind of form, a form of godliness, but has there really been a change in your life? Has there been a moment when you have acknowledged that you're a sinner before God? You're unclean, you're guilty before him, and that's not a good place to be. But praise God for the salvation that he's provided in the Son, Jesus Christ. He went to the cross to take your sin and your guilt and that judgment upon himself so that the door is wide open. And it's called grace for you to come and receive Jesus and say, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. Come and change me. And when you receive Jesus, oh, all heaven is opened up to you. You have got that welcome into the Father, and the Holy Spirit comes and fills you, and there's a joy in your heart, there's a peace that you didn't have before. There's a song, isn't it? What a wonderful change in my heart came about since Jesus came into my heart. Clouds of joy cloud over my soul, let the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. A children's song. But it's the response that we all of us, whether we're adult, old, young, our greatest need is to be reconciled with God. And that the way is through Jesus. And what he did on the cross and receiving him and welcoming him in, we experience that wonderful change in our life. And if you've never done so, if God's tugging on your heart this morning, come and speak to me after the service.